Ken, I appreciate that heartfelt, fervent prayer, and I appreciate also the words preceding the prayer. They reminded me of a text I'd like to have you turn to with me this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because so much of what Brother Yates mentioned is exactly what Paul is exemplifying here with his language in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We begin reading together at verse number 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will be partaker or partake of the consolation." That's an amazing beginning to a somewhat off-putting book. His first epistle to the Corinthians outlines several of their problems, at least one of which had been corrected by the writing of this second epistle, as we have it in our English Bibles. But it seemed like other matters were still up in the air, and not the least of which, by way of problems, were those who didn't really see Paul as a bona fide apostle to be obeyed or even listened to, or for some, even tolerated. And yet, rather than start this second epistle with words of scourging rebuke against them, he brings to mind something which is the core of, I think, who we are as Christians. What we do with our suffering and the comfort God gives us from that. And the fact that this is not something that we hold in a bubble to ourselves. Now, by itself, the comfort God gives us in times of difficulty is tremendous and beyond measure by way of explanation. I've mentioned this before. You've thought of this, I know, before I mentioned it, the fact that we enjoy so much as Christians in difficult times, but we can't even imagine how we'd deal with things that we go through without the Lord's help. Without being able to say, and rightly so, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Without being able to say, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Without being able to say, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." If we didn't have those promises and this tremendous power and presence of God in our lives, how could we deal with the problems that come our way? But we do enjoy these wonderful blessings God offers to us. The promises of Scripture, the hope we have of heaven, the providence we have in our everyday lives. Oh, we have everything we need as Christians to deal with the good times and the bad. To rejoice in times of celebration, but also to sorrow with hope in times of difficulty and tribulation. As true as that all is, though, God never intended for us to enjoy such in a cocoon or a bubble of insulation and isolation from the world and from one another. He comforts us so that we are able to comfort others. And that, in a way, was what this gentleman was trying to do with respect to Ken. He had been through something that some of you have been through, others of us haven't. Benita and I have talked about the fact that if something horrific doesn't happen, and I'm kind of hoping for the horrific, one of us will go before the other. I'm opting for a mutual hang gliding accident someday. But in the absence of something like that, one will go before the other. That's just the way of life. But this man that Ken referenced, he'd been through that. And as difficult as that was, it gave him a perspective that I think all of us would do well to emulate. Now, I don't know if that man was a Christian or even understood the Bible, but I do know this, he had a basic grasp of what Paul is saying here. You take the bad that life throws at you, and you mix it with the good that God offers to you, and then you use that to mold within yourself a message to help those in need that you come in contact with. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I want you to notice a couple of verses in particular with me one more time, if you still have your Bible open here in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says that God and the Father of Jesus Christ is the Father of mercies. He comforts us in our tribulation. But you notice that's not where the text ends. That's just where it's beginning to make the point that Paul wants to make. And a lot of us, and if you haven't started listening yet, start listening now. And if you want to stop early, you can stop in about 60 seconds. You'll have the whole lesson. A lot of us would like to stop the text right there and take that to the bank and enjoy it. And that's blessing enough. The fact that God is the Father of mercies who comforts us in our tribulation. Period. Full stop. End of thought. And whereas that's tremendously helpful to us, that's not all that we are about as Christians. We're not just receiving as Christians, we're also giving as Christians. We're not just taking in and basking in the blessings heaven offers to us, but we as Christians are supposed to be using those blessings in a way to benefit others. Christ shines his light upon us. We reflect that light back upon the world. You might remember, it's a passage in this same book, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 3, where in a larger context, it makes a little more sense than this one verse, verse 18, will show us. But Paul says, we all with unveiled faces, beholding or seeing in a glass, in a mirror, the image of the Lord, are transformed into that same image by the glory of the Lord, by the Spirit of our Lord, from glory to glory. In other words, as Christians, we gaze within the mirror of the Scriptures and we see the very person of Christ. And his light reflects back upon us. And then we, in turn, become like what we've seen. We become like Christ. Which is why the text continues and doesn't stop here in 2 Corinthians 1. Yes, we have the God of all mercy. Yes, he comforts us. But notice the next word, that. We might say in order so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. With what? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. One of the, and I hate to use the word good things because I know those who have been through tough times don't see it that way, but at least one of the positive things about difficult situations is that it provides opportunity for understanding others who are going through similar situations. That's why you have meetings in this building of those with a particular set of challenges they're facing, and they all have the same challenges. And why are they all together? Because they understand what it's like. And if they had me in to speak to them, they would pay less attention to me than they did to one another. And why? Because I don't have a frame of reference for what they're going through. But they can talk amongst themselves, and they get real help because they're talking with people who've gone through the same struggles. And that's not just true of challenges like those I'm referring to, but also to matters of trial and disappointment and loss and grief. Paul had had his challenges, no doubt about it. He was in the midst of severe difficulty. If you back, since we're staying in the Corinthian letters for just a moment, you back into the first of these books, Paul references some of them, but especially in this second epistle, he hones these down to several which would seem to be an insurmountable number of persecutions, ranging from being beaten with rods to being stoned to being shipwrecked. And all of these he really touts as his bona fides to be listened to. But because Paul had been through that, he's able then to offer a level of comfort and understanding to others who've been through and are going through like situations. I say that because Ken referenced open doors. And we all are looking, I hope we're all looking for open doors of opportunity to say the right thing, to be the right kind of people, to respond in ways that would be helpful to the cause of Christ in general, to a person's salvation and soul's condition in particular, perhaps even to the benefit of Midtown here. We want to do our best to go through these doors of opportunity. But one of the doors is a door nobody wants to walk through. And that's being put in a position where you need comfort. You know, a lot of us would like to be able to help people who are just for the first time learning how to live as billionaires. But we, I don't think we'll ever reach the point of being in a position to do that, to counsel those who are new billionaires about the difficulty of living a billionaire lifestyle and staying faithful to the Lord. No, the doors of opportunity many of us will be going through, and many already have, or doors we don't want to go through. But it does, these opportunities, they do present opportunities that weren't there before. And again, I reference you back to the man who talked to Ken. And reminding him and Gail of the way they should be attentive to one another while they're still with one another, that was a perspective that he wouldn't have had earlier. And a perspective that those of us who just almost take for granted the blessings we have, the relationships we enjoy, don't think about unless somebody who's been through it reminds us. And brings our attention to it. Well, that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. We have tremendous opportunities every day in situations like this to take our own situations and have open eyes and awareness for those in similar situations, and to find a bond there between a commonality of perspective, interest, perhaps even difficulty and suffering, that will draw not just us to them and them to us, but both of us together to the Lord, as they understand from us the same comfort we have, it's available to them and to all. Because the wonderful news about what Paul's talking about here is that this comfort, yes, it is especially meant for God's people, but there is no limit. There are no boundaries. There is no leaving out with respect to who can be a Christian. Now, you go back several centuries before this, and if you wanted to be someone under the auspices of the authority of the law that Moses brought down from Sinai, unless you were in some way proselytized into the Jewish faith, you were born into it or you weren't. You were either a Jew or a Gentile. But now Christ came and lived and died, not just for one race of people, but for all people. Not for just one gender of people, but for all sexes. For all of us. So that the same comfort Paul enjoys, it's available through Christ for everybody. That's why the gospel is gospel. That's why it's good news. Which means this comfort we have is something that we can share. And we can share positively, knowing that it's available to everybody. Freely and fully and without reservation. If anybody, and that means anybody, will humble themselves to God and put themselves at His mercy, doing things as God has taught, they then, by God's grace, can be saved in the same way everybody's always been saved. The gospel is for all. And so, read just a couple of verses more, and then we'll allow the lesson to be ours this evening. He says, verse number 5 now, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," and they did, we mentioned a while ago, and this takes you back to chapter 11 of the preceding book, his mentioning of his being beaten with rods, the lashes upon his back by way of the scourgings, the stoning, like at Lystra, the shipwrecks that he's gone through. These sufferings, they abound. So our consolation also abounds through Christ. If we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. In other words, Paul is saying, the worse it gets for us, the more opportunities we have. And there's a measure of truth in that that we may not want to deal with. The more widespread your difficulties, the broader field of opportunities you have with others. Do you realize if you've been living your life from birth till now and not had one single misstep, one single flaw, one single problem, one single sorrow, one single tear, that you really, really couldn't identify with anybody than them with you. And the more of those things you've had, as difficult as they were, every one of them has made you more able to reach out and identify with, and even commiserate with, those who've been through like trials. The broader the range of difficulty, the wider the door of opportunity. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's why Paul can say, in the midst of such chaos in his own life, it's a good thing. As he says in Philippians chapter 1, this imprisonment, these bonds, has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. It's a good thing. That's why Paul can say here, these sufferings, they abound to your consolation. The worse it gets for me, the better it is for you, because I can give you the same comfort God gives me in even a more abundant fashion. And so there's a great deal of truth in what Ken shared with us this evening, and I appreciate him doing that. Appreciate you, Ken. And by the way, not to be, this sounds like it's self-serving, but it's really not. It's sincere as can be. Say what you will about our elders, and perhaps many of you do. Know this, you won't find any more spiritually minded men in your lifetime than our elders. I've been with them. I spent some quality time with all of them. And I can tell you, spiritually minded men, all of them. They deserve your affection and, yes, your respect. If you're here this evening and outside of Christ, don't leave in that condition. Come to Christ. The comfort you need is there. If you're outside of Christ because you've left Him, come back, because the comfort of Christ is there. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.